You know, I have to just tell you that shooting videos like this is a really unique experience. Pastor CJ does such a great job setting us up for success, and I have to just own that the day we shot that video, I did not pay attention to the fact that we were shooting that video. In fact, I showed up to work with a hat and wet hair. So I just want to make fun of myself a couple times because my hair is bad. That video is bad. And then because I also wasn't prepared well enough, my eyes do this like left look thing because he was gracious enough to set up a screen that would help me like with some prompts, but my eyes just kept looking at it. And then I think I blinked one million times in that video. It was not great. And then at the very end, he was like, you know, as we're reading this passage, no one has really like read it with excitement. So he said, I really want you to like read it with, so today is the day of salvation. And I've watched it every week and I thought, I'm such a goof. Like I've not that I'm not genuine that today is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. But sometimes when we're in those settings, it can be really awkward and uncomfortable. So I'm just here to acknowledge that I was the awkward and uncomfortable on the screen, and that's okay. So today we're going to wrap up our final week in a series that we're calling Live in Such a Way. We've covered topics like how to have patience and grit in the face of really difficult circumstances. We've talked about living with integrity in every single area of our lives, what it means to truly honor the people around us, and how we ought to be seeking to understand others as we live. And today I want to finish out this talk by talking today about kindness. Now, I realize a couple years ago we did an entire series on kindness. It seems like the word kindness is making its way into all kinds of different places in our society. And as I was prepping for this talk today and doing my research and my study, I came across this quote that's not like gonna rock your world, but I think it really does explain the experience of kindness right now. It says this: we are never as kind as we want to be, but nothing outrages us more than when people are unkind to us. And I thought about this quote, and I thought, you know, I often, you know, will get home at the end of the day and think, man, I wish I had responded better in this situation, or I wish I would have been more kind in this time, whether it's to my kids or my family or whatever it is. And then when we're on the receiving end of someone else's unkindness, it really like boils something on the inside of us. I don't know if you've had this experience or not, but I know I have, and I felt like this quote really describes a lot of our experience with kindness. I want to look together at our passage today from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 for us, and I realize that when we read large chunks of scripture, sometimes we can doze off or kind of lose attention. And I just want to encourage you to read along with me on the screen or in your app or wherever you are today. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Paul writes this. He says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we should show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and in the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but yet they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. And so this passage, Paul is laying out for the folks in Corinth what it looks like to truly live as a follower of Jesus. And so that is the model and the method that we want to go about today when it comes to thinking about how do we take this scripture and use it in our lives. You know, in the last several years, we've seen lots of movements come through focused on kindness, helping our society to be more kind to each other. And to me, it's like, it's as if the world recognizes that there's this undercurrent of unkindness, of distrust, that is woven between us as people. I don't know that it's always specific to one people group or another, but it seems like it's more of a battle in our interpersonal exchanges. And part of this battle, I believe, in our interpersonal relationships is that it is so easy to find fault in other people, to get our feathers ruffled by one thing or another. And in this passage, specifically verses 6-9, I love how it clearly defines that we are to prove who we are by the kindness that we get to show. Now, this type of proving isn't about showing our worth or our value, but more about proving the types of people that we are by the way that we live, by the actions of our lives. Other versions of the Bible use the word commend in the place of proving. And this isn't about puffing ourselves up, but rather about putting on display the true values of a person who has experienced real change that comes from knowing Jesus. It's putting on an exhibition of God's power in our lives by the way that we interact with others, proving that God is good, proving that he has plans for our lives, proving that God is loving, proving that God desires to have a relationship with each one of us. And one way that we can prove these things to the world is by our understanding, by seeking to understand other people. You see, I believe that understanding aids kindness. When we understand other people, then we have a greater chance to be able to respond with kindness. Last week, Pastor Brent did a phenomenal job talking to us about our responsibility to be understanding types of people. That we, as ministers of God, we ought to live in such a way that we seek understanding from other people. And I believe that once we understand people, then we can really put legs to that understanding by responding with kindness in our lives. Now, before you stumble on this idea of where it says there that we to be a minister of God, I just want to let us know here that this passage is actually speaking to every one of us. It's speaking to the people in Corinth. It's not something that is just addressing a paid employee of a church, but he's actually setting up an expectation that each person whose life has been touched by the grace of Jesus ought to be living in such a way, with kindness, with honor, with purity, with understanding, with patience, and with perseverance. You could say it like this, that everyone is a minister. Everyone is a minister. I remember a specific sermon given by Pastor Jeff, who pastored this church for nearly 40 years, and he used these words. He said that everyone is a minister. And actually, in my home, we have used this word a lot. My husband loves to tell me that everyone is a minister because I'm the one who is the paid employee of the church, but he likes to remember, I am a minister. Everyone's a minister. And so I want to encourage us with that this morning, that this idea really empowers each one of us to take up our own role as people who have been changed by the love of Jesus, to be able to share that love through Christ. Now, this isn't relegated to the role of a pastor, because each one of us are to be the ministers of the good news about God's love to the people that God has put us in relationship with. Some of the things that Pastor Brent talked about last week were about humbling ourselves and about being curious. And when we choose to humble ourselves and understand that we don't know everything about the people in our lives, and then we choose to be curious by asking questions about their life experiences, we can often find ourselves to be more willing to respond with compassion and with empathy towards that person because now we have a greater understanding of the experiences of their life. Now, let me just say, it doesn't mean that we always have to agree, right? Like, we're not always going to agree with all people. But when we understand more, when we seek to understand where someone is coming from, then we have a greater chance to be able to choose kindness as our response. I don't know if you've ever seen this to be true in your life, but there's a story in my family. A few years ago, my husband's brother was riding in the car with his dad, and they were on their way to school. And as they were riding, they saw a man along the road who was running.
And, you know, you pass the people who are getting their workout in the morning, and there's some people that you look at them and you think, man, they are just like gazelle-like. Like their stride is like perfect. It's like they could keep going and going and going. Well, this man was not that man. He was not gazelle-like. In fact, it was very obvious that he was struggling. He was having a really hard time. And my brother-in-law, in all his teenage wisdom, started making comments about this man's pace, about his running style, about why is he even doing that in the first place. And with great kindness and gentleness, my father-in-law responded with this. He said, "Easy, son. You never know what mile someone is on." You see, my father-in-law was a gifted runner. He coached track for many years, and his four sons got to watch the impact that he had in countless athletes in this community. They heard the talks that he would give to his athletes about how relaxed is fast and the different phrases that he would use to help coach his athletes. And in fact, several of his sons even competed in their own races. But they learned from their father that to train for a distance race meant that you would need to pace yourself. And that for many of the distance races, it actually requires a mental strength that far outweighs any physical ability that one might have. That the further you get into a race, the more taxing it can be not only on your body, but on your mind. And so this idea of you never know what mile somebody is on, this type of mindset requires the wisdom to know that we do not always understand where someone is. We do not always understand the experiences that have led them to this point in their lives. We don't know why they act, respond, and choose the things that they do, often based off of the experiences that they've gone through in their lives. And so to me, based off of last week's message, we can actually use several of the questions that Pastor Brent posed to us to be able to further understand people better. He asked things like, "Can you tell me more? What's made you come to that conclusion, or who or what has shaped your opinion of this particular thing?" And when we understand those things, then we can understand how someone feels and why they respond the way that they do. Instead of assuming that we know the motives of others, when we ask questions, we can understand and choose kindness as our response. Part of the thing that I love getting to do here at Crossroads is to work with young leaders. To get to work with high schoolers, middle schoolers, college students who are learning about themselves, learning about the world. And a lot of the times, I get to have a place to be able to explain to them that people respond the way that they do based off of the experiences that they have. For me, when I encounter a student who is angry, who wants to fight everyone, who maybe has walls that are 10 feet thick in their lives and they don't want anything to do with anybody, they're apathetic, they don't want anybody, I realize that that student is the way that they are because of the things that's happened to them. They may have walls that are 10 feet high around their heart, around their lives, because that's been the defense mechanism that they've needed to be able to keep themselves safe, to keep other people at a distance so that they don't get hurt again. And then there's students who come to us and they just want to bicker and fight about everything. And I realize that what those students are doing is they want to push so hard to see, will you stick around? Because everybody else has left. And so they've learned this way of coping with the world to say, I'm going to push you away in efforts that you will prove to me that I'm not good enough. But instead of giving in to that, I want to stick around. I want to ask more questions. I want to get to the root of what is happening in that student's life. Instead of forming my own ideas about who someone is based on limited information, I can ask further questions so that I can understand more and respond with kindness. I actually saw this play out in our young adult group this last semester. We have a young adult group that meets on Monday nights, and we were going through a study this last semester that took us down really deep topics and deep paths, and I realized at the end of our semester, something that would really help our group, not just the individuals, but the group together, was to be able to have a time to be able to share their stories, to be able to share their testimonies, to be able to give witness to the things that God had done in their lives so that we could better connect together and those kinds of things. And so we had a powerful night where we sat in a circle and we talked about the things that God has met us in. the hardships that we have faced, the way that we have experienced God's grace in our own lives. And man, I watched them find freedom from shame by sharing some of the darkest things that they had been through. But I also watched something really powerful happen. Now, these young people, they already cared about each other, but I watched them respond with a deeper level of empathy and compassion for one another because they now understood more about each other. They were able to treat each other with further kindness based off of the way that they now understood better things about them. Colossians chapter 3 has a passage I want to read to us, and I think it really describes the way this group of young people began to respond that night. Verse 12 says that since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience to make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Because remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This group of young people, they weren't just gritting their teeth to be nice to each other. They were actually making an intentional choice. They were building off of the understanding that they now had about each other to better be able to love each other. And even though they already cared about each other, it deepened their compassion. You know, this passage from Colossians, Paul says that we ought to make allowances for each other's faults. And I think that this concept is really interesting and often misunderstood because it's not saying that we are to excuse bad behavior. It's not saying that what that person did, that fault that they have, it's not saying that that's okay, and it's not making it acceptable. It's about understanding that person and choosing to believe the best about them in the midst of their failure, just like God has done for us. To me, this is a form of kindness. And I've seen this also play out with my own children. I have two girls. They are 10 and 14, about to be 11 and 14. And my kids, I know that they require a good amount of rest, probably more rest than most kids do at their age. And in the Barnes household, the first few days of school or the first few days back after a break are rough. They are rough days because we are not on our sleep routines. We are not used to having to get up. We're not used to school food. We're used to being able to get whatever we want out of the pantry. And those first few days of going back to school can be really tough. And on those days, I choose to make allowances for my girls. I know the fact that because they're getting less sleep and because they're back on a routine that they don't always love, they can be more tired and more irritable than they normally would be. And I choose to show them kindness, not by excusing bad attitudes or rude comments, but by reminding them, hey, we're tired today. We're going to be a little more careful with the things that we say to each other. I don't excuse back talk or bad attitudes, but when they respond in those kinds of ways, my response to them is different than it would be if I knew we were on the normal schedule. Sometimes I think that we view kindness as like sort of an area of weakness or like a soft spot that someone might have. But I actually think it's quite the opposite. I think that scripture is teaching us that it actually is a great strength to respond to kindness in all different circumstances. It's not a strength that's in our own power, but a reliance on God to get us through. In fact, this very passage that we've been studying the last several weeks lists the source of that in the passage for us, because the source of our kindness is the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, it says that we prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that is the source of our kindness. And this is true, man, if we have the opportunity to really understand someone better, or if we don't have the opportunity to know the context behind someone's life, and we still choose kindness. Because we're not always going to be given the chance to know more about people's lives, but we are going to be given the opportunities to choose kindness. To me, it takes strength to respond to kindness to those who we don't have the opportunity to understand. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, it lists kindness as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What if instead of seeing kindness as this like attitude that we have to will ourselves to be better at, but we actually viewed it as a byproduct of having a closer relationship with Jesus? Think about it like this. Fruit that grows on trees is the evidence of a healthy tree. In the same way, kindness is the evidence of a healthy relationship with Jesus. Sometimes I think we think of the fruits of the Spirit as a fruit bowl like this. I don't know if any of you guys put one of these out on your counter, hoping that your kids will walk by and grab an apple instead of Pringles. We do. But let me tell you this. Like here, we've got a mango, we've got an apple, a couple bananas, things like that. And I think about the fruit of the Spirit like this. Sometimes we think like, oh, I'm going to choose today to work on peace. This is a pretty big fruit. Mango's a good-sized fruit. I'm going to choose to work on peace. Or maybe, hey, patience. I need two of those because, you know, patience. And so we white knuckle it through trying to figure out how to be more patient people. But what, man, what if the fruit of the Spirit is actually more like this? It is a group of qualities that are to be viewed collectively because when they're together, they're way more impactful because they come from the same source. We can't will one of these grapes to get bigger than the rest of them. We can't feed one of these and hope, oh, I'm going to just get better. This one grape's going to grow bigger because I'm going to focus on it right now. They're called fruit of the Spirit because they're to be viewed collectively. And when they're connected to the source, that's when they grow. Let me say it like this. Kindness is the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. If we want to get better at kindness, at patience, at self-control, we don't necessarily need to focus on that attribute, but as much as our connection to the source. And that connection to the source is the Holy Spirit. I think that each of us need to start to consider that our lives are to be connected to the source of our strength, the source of our hope, the source of our joy, the source of our kindness, instead of just trying to focus on that one attribute and make it bigger in our lives. I want to wrap up our time this morning by calling us to a few verses that, to me, they explain the origin of kindness. You could say it this way, that God is the creator of kindness. God is the creator of kindness. He is the one who first initiated kindness to us. In fact, besides Jesus, I believe that the greatest gift that God has given us is the ability to choose, which he initiated in the garden with Adam and Eve by allowing them the choice to choose between which fruits they would choose to partake of or not take of. And God allows us the ability to choose him, the ability to say, I can make choices in my everyday life that either honor God or don't honor God. And so I want to go to these verses here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says it this way, that God is so rich in mercy, and that he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead, that it is only by grace that we have been saved. Paul states it another way in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. He says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from our sin? You see, God is the initiator of kindness by sending Jesus to be the sacrifice for each one of us. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 says that God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for those who are united with Christ. This means that God's love for us is evidenced by the kindness he showed to us by sending Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sin. Man, God has lavished us. He has poured out such great amounts of kindness on us because he has given us the greatest gift. And if we look back at the very first verses in this passage, we can actually see that Paul is implying that the people that this book is written to, this letter, the people that it's written to, had already made this decision to accept the wonderful gift of God's love. Verse 1 says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then to ignore it. And I wonder today, if we were to take a hard look at ourselves, would that describe us? Have we chosen to accept this wonderful gift of God's kindness, but then not done anything with it? You know, I know lots of you in this room, and I know that you love the Lord and you follow him faithfully, which I think is amazing. But I think there are some times where we come to a moment and we make a decision and we allow God to be in our lives, but that's the only time we acknowledge it. That his sacrifice and the way that he constantly wants to invest in us is on a very limited basis because of our choices to not allow God in. And let me just say that, like, we believe here at Crossroads that we want every person to know Christ, that our mission is to meet people where they are and help them take their next step with Christ. That is not something that is ever finished. When we say our next step with Christ, we're talking about one after the other, after the other, after the other. Like, it's not like I crossed this line and now I'm finished. God wants to continue to work in our lives. And God has initiated a relationship with us based on his loving kindness. He desires for us to be his partners in first accepting his kindness that he has shown to us in the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, I realize that this passage that we're reading is written to people who had already made that decision. But today, I don't want to leave this room before I give an understanding, a clear understanding of what it means to truly know Jesus. You see, Jesus was a man just like you and I. He was born a baby. He grew up with social pressures and expectations. But the difference between Jesus and you and I is that he was also fully God. He was God's son that was sent to earth to be the sacrifice for you and for me. And inside of each one of us is woven a sense of justice, that when something wrong happens, we feel like something needs to be done to pay for that wrongdoing. And Jesus came to be the thing that paid for the wrongdoing in our lives. The things that you and I have done that don't line up with the perfection of who God is. We call these things our sins. And because God is perfect, he can't have anything to do with anything that is less than perfect. And when Jesus came to earth, because he was God, he lived a perfect life. And he often confronted the people, man, who felt like they could hold their religious superiority over the heads of the people who they were leading. And Jesus came in quite the opposite way. He came to be the servant of all. And even though he was the greatest of all, he never sinned and yet was killed to take our place. Man, but the best news of all is that even though he died, he didn't stay dead. And by raising from the dead 3 days later, Jesus conquered the power that sin and death can have in our lives for those who believe in him. One of the major differences in faith in Jesus versus other religions is that Jesus desires to have a personal relationship with each of us. He's not asking us to do anything because Jesus already did it. This isn't about following rules and checking boxes, but understanding that Jesus loved us so much that he chose to take our punishment upon himself. Each of us today has the opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's like a gift that is being offered to each of us. And all we have to do is to choose to accept this gift. To me, it has two parts. Number one, choosing to allow God to forgive us for the things in our lives that we have done that we know are not right. And then also choosing to let God sit in the driver's seat of our lives. See, God initiated kindness to us in so many ways, but the greatest way that he shows kindness to us is the gift we have in Jesus. 1 John 4:19 says that we love each other because he first loved us. And when we understand that the root of the kindness that we can show others comes from the kindness we've received from the Lord, man, that can change the way that we live. And I want to say today, if you've never made the decision to personally allow that gift of God's kindness to impact your heart, we'd love to talk with you. I don't want anybody to leave today wondering, have I done that? Do I know the kindness that God has shown me? And so there's a couple places I'd love to point you to. I'm going to stay up here after the gathering ends and would love to talk with anybody who has questions, wants to pray about anything. And then also right outside these doors to the left is our first step area. There's going to be folks there who would love to talk with you more about what it means to respond to the kindness that God has shown us. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that we have together to think about kindness. And I love, Lord, how you are the author of kindness, how you showed us kindness first, and now we get to show kindness to other people by the way that we live our lives. God, I pray that this morning as we wrap up this gathering, God, that we would take a good inventory of ourselves, of our lives, of the way that we respond to people. And if we find areas or relationships where kindness is hard to come by, God, would you help us to become more like Jesus in responding to kindness to the people around us? And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.